standard, che lo Stato garantisce come standard interoperabile e sulla quale si possono fare applicazioni riutilizzabili in vari posti, con l'idea che fondamentalmente la smartness parta dalla cittadinanza. Non mi sembra tanto boring, sicuramente lo vedremo all'opera. Tra l'altro vi segnalo che uno dei rapporti, appunto, è stato detto da Francesco, che do una mano anch'io, ma posso testimoniare che il passaggio dalla come dire, realizzazione di progetti fondato sulla logica per cui ciascun soggetto coinvolto nei progetti fa il suo pezzo, ha una logica nella quale ci si concentra sul finale del progetto, sul momento in cui il progetto finisce e tutti si allineano per arrivare a quel risultato, è un cambiamento che francamente è non solo non boring, ma entusiasmante per chi conosce il sistema della pubblica amministrazione italiana. E quindi grazie a Francesco. Io vorrei dare la parola a John Mitton, Joe Mitton, per il suo contributo dal punto di vista londinese, e poi proseguiremo con Pura Santa e l'intervento in video di Viola.
Thank you very much. Mi dispiace, non parlo italiano, quindi parlerò in inglese. Today, the mayor of London is in China, promoting London to a new generation of Chinese young people who hopefully will come to study and to work and do business in London. So he could not be here today, but he very much wanted me to come to represent the City of London, because the Smart Cities agenda is very important for London and for the United Kingdom. I'll start by talking about our approach to smart cities generally, and then speak more specifically about the work we're doing on the digital economy. Our general approach to smart cities, and particularly thinking of London as a smart city, is to ask ourselves what makes us different as a city, what makes us unique, and where can we add value. Two aspects of London are most apparent. First, we're a very large city. We're the largest city in the European Union and the fastest growing city, the fastest growing big city in the European Union. And secondly, it's a very diverse city and a very open city, very open to immigrants as well as to visitors. So we think with those two special features, we should shape our smart cities agenda to fit what works for London. So our philosophy is this. A smart city is a city that adapts better to the needs of its people. It uses technology to make energy savings, and it encourages behavior change, including shifting people into cycling and public transport. And technology must be at the heart of our smart cities agenda. As I mentioned, it's a large city. We have 8 million people, but it's growing very quickly. We expect that by 2024, we will have 9 million people, and by 2030, we will have 30 million people. There's a lot of immigration into London, but also a high birth rate, as well as a lot of internal migration from other parts of the United Kingdom. London's economy has been somewhat more successful than other parts of the United Kingdom, and so we've seen a lot of people moving to London from other parts of England for work. So all that growth presents opportunities, but also challenges. We see increasing demands on the services of energy, of heating, of electricity, but also of waste. We also see an aging population. Our population in London is getting older, and that means we have changing needs in terms of healthcare, in terms of social care, and also education. But when focusing on the aging population, we should not forget the younger people, who not only need jobs, but also need the skills in order to compete in the global economy. So So with all that in mind, we started our smart cities program first with the data that we hold. As the city administration, we hold an extraordinary amount of data. The city administration controls the police service of London, the Metropolitan Police, but also the transport network, the London Transport Network, which is the underground, and also the buses and the boats. And through those two organisations, we have an extraordinary amount of data available. And we thought the best thing that we can do as a city administration is to make that data available to the public, free of charge. We as civil administrators are not very good at designing uses for new data, but we have some technological thinkers in London who can. And so we established something called the London Data Store. Now this is a online platform where people can access all the data that we hold for free. And so far we have had 25,000 visits per month to the London Data Store. We've had 450 iPhone applications developed just for transport alone using our data. So that's an example of making the data available for innovators and technological experts to make good use of it. We've also found that we at City Hall need data to understand and make the right policies. And so we have an iPad wall at City Hall that gives us all the real-time data we need on predictable things such as the transport and transport movements, which trains are delayed, but also less predictable things, things such as the weather, people movement, and we try and get that in as real-time as possible so that we can make decisions quickly and in time. One of the biggest problems that we face in London is transport and congestion, traffic. We estimate that the traffic in London costs the city £2 billion, that's €2.5 billion, per year. The average Londoner spends 70 hours, on average, sitting in traffic. Now, that's a waste of their time, and that's not very smart from a city perspective. So we're doing what we can to reduce traffic. One thing is to encourage public transport. We have, you may know, the Oyster cards in London, which is a way to ride on the buses, the boats, the trains, overland and underground with a card that's contactless and debits your card. But we want to go further. So next year, we will be introducing direct payments for transport on your debit card or your credit card. So you won't even need to have an Oyster card. Anyone from anywhere in the world can ride the London network using their debit card and pay directly. So I mentioned the data store. That was the London Data Store was our first initiative. But we wanted to go further. So our mayor, Boris Johnson, initiated this year the Smart London Board. Now, this is a board of business people and academics. It's chaired by Professor David Gann, who's a technological expert at the Imperial College in London, which is one of our top universities. And the board is going to make its recommendations soon. The recommendations will be published later this year and will be on our website. But I can tell you some of the things that we plan to announce in the report. The first thing to say is that the report will very much be a practical document. We don't want it to be an academic document about the virtues of technology. It must be a very practical guide to who needs to do what, in the city administration, or in business, or in central government, in order to make London a smarter city. It's going to focus, as I mentioned, on our traffic problem. One unexpected consequence that we've seen of the internet economy in London is it's led to a great increase in light deliveries. We didn't expect this. The supermarkets in London now very much encourage people to do their shopping online. This saves them the money of renting a shop space. And so most supermarkets in London these days will offer free delivery to your home if you purchase online. And so we've seen an incredible increase. We now see that 80% of the light deliveries made in London are made for purchases online. That's groceries, but also Amazon.com and so forth. People are buying more online, and this has led to an unexpected traffic problem. So one of the things that our Smart London Board will focus on is how to handle that traffic burden. It's going to suggest sharing of vehicles between the different providers, but also enabling them to make their deliveries and plan their deliveries off-peak time. They will also have access to a live traffic feed, which will show them not only the shortest route, but also the quickest route. In London, quite often, the shortest route is not the quickest. And it'll also show them the most intelligent way to do a real-time delivery for multiple centres. So show them the most intelligent way to move around the city to do multiple deliveries. The other aspect that our Smart Cities report will focus on is hydrogen power for transport, hydrogen-powered vehicles. This is something that we're very keen on in the City of London for two reasons. Firstly, it's clean. We have a pollution problem, we have an air quality problem, we have some of the worst air quality in Europe, and hydrogen power will help address that. But more importantly, as I said earlier, we are very interested in using our strategic advantage as a large city. And hydrogen power is exactly the kind of solution that a large city can adopt, because it's very expensive. We want to set up a network of refueling stations around London. That's going to be expensive, and so we're going to need a lot of users. And that's exactly the kind of thing that our population can provide. So we're working very closely with the European Union. The Commission is helping us with some of our hydrogen technology projects. And we will announce, before 2015, we will announce a network of refueling stations around London. We already have hydrogen taxis and hydrogen buses, and we use those to take VIPs to the Olympic Park during the 2012 Olympic Games. So let me talk now about the digital initiatives that we're taking in London as part of our Smart City project. The first and the most important is a project called Talk London. Now, Talk London is an online research community. It's there to promote positive debate about how we can improve our city. So it's a forum where the people of London can tell us what they think about our policies. We can find out what they think, whether they know what our policies are, and how we can improve. So it hosts discussions, articles, blogs, polls, surveys, and live chat events, including live chats with the Mayor of London, who can hear directly from people exactly what they think about the administration. And again, that helps us to make real-time decisions. We don't have to wait for the next election to see what people thought of our work. We're working very closely with the United Kingdom government on a Future Cities Catapult, which is a laboratory space to develop new ideas. And we hope those ideas can be brought out both in London and to other European cities, and indeed cities across the world like Quito. But the most important thing that we can do for the digital agenda is to support London's tech and digital businesses. So this means making sure we have affordable space.
Could you use one more minute, please? One more minute, please?
Sure. Let me talk finally about how we plan to measure our success. We're going to have about 9 measures. I won't go through them all now, but we have about 9 measures so that at the end of 2016, when we face the next election, we will be able to say we have achieved a smart city, and we can measure in terms of the commercial benefit what our smart city has achieved. Finally, let me just say that we're very keen to partner with other European cities. We're already in discussions with the mayor of Turin, who came to see our mayor. We're very keen to talk to Bologna, but also Vienna, and the large capitals like Paris and Madrid. So I encourage you all to get in touch with the London administration, and we can see ways that we can work together to develop the Smart Cities agenda across Europe. Thank you.
Thank you very much. As we said, London and Quito tell us that cities are together in